This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Holy caffeine!
It's the world's greatest super friends.
Ronnie and Aaron.
Faster than a streak of lightning.
A DC Comics podcast.
Absolute.
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I'm Batman. I'm Batman.
Batman.
He's a hipster.
The Flash, world's fastest human.
I mean, I grew up with Wally West.
Think about the future.
If you're good at something, never do it for free.
Dude, you're a dumbass.
You are foolish.
Ooh. DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. It's just like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, I guess I should start with, did you see the exciting advertisements in the front of every comic that you read this week?
Oh, the Justice League Odyssey?
Yes.
Yeah.
You see that it's coming in July?
Uh-huh. That's what the print, or the digital...
Did you see it supposedly was delayed 7 weeks, so now it might not be out in August?
Well, that's pretty par for the course, right?
Yeah. So I'm wondering with that if all the other spinoffs of No Justice are now also going to be pushed back?
Nah, we'll just keep throwing it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we did with the spinoffs to Metal, and we delayed Metal, so...
Yeah, it's true.
We'll just keep throwing them out there, like, and give away the ending before we actually publish the ending.
Right. I mean, I don't want to say it's typical DC, but it's pretty typical DC.
Yeah, it is.
And I find it, the thing I find most amusing about it is that this was something they've had in the works for a while, that it's not, as far as it was a one shot or a mini. I don't know if it's an ongoing series. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you'd think, I guess, kind of, if Doomsday Clock, which they're working on, you know, maybe with movie stuff or whatever, Geoff Johns got some pages to the art, you know, the artist late, and then he got it to the colorist late and everything, you know, things like that. I can understand an ongoing series having a problem partway through. Mm-hmm. Way more than a very first issue can't even get out when it's supposed to be out, and they've been talking about it for, I don't know, 6 months.
Well, that's what I was saying. That's like par for the course, though, right?
Yeah.
The only difference is, like, Doomsday Clock I was excited for.
Right.
Metal, I was curious about. So, like, when those got delayed, it kind of took the wind out of my sails for those. Like, Justice League Odyssey... I remember that one thing called Batman Odyssey, mm-hmm. and I was like trying to stay away from it as much as I could. So, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's late. it's like, what the hell are people doing? Because like you can get most of the regular books come out on time, right?
Pretty much.
I mean,
like a few of them have fallen behind a week.
Yeah.
No, like they slow up a little bit, but for the most part, you know, and I mean, I guess they also, the regular stuff that will do fill in artists.
Yeah.
Or something, but.
But you can't give me an event that's on time.
Yeah. Never.
Maybe.
And that's the amazing thing. It blows my mind that every time they do a big storyline like this or a big event type of happening, that's what they can't get out. Yet every other book. Is still, you know, yeah. I don't mind if, say, The Flash gets held up an extra week.
Right.
If it means that the guy who's writing The Flash can get his event book out on time.
Right.
That they're really, you know, I mean, I like that there's a book every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I grew up with a monthly book that the 2 week thing just at this point, it's like a novelty. It's just like, hey, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't have time to keep up with all of it, so I'm behind on most of the stuff anyway.
Right.
So I don't mind if, you know, who was it? Williamson's writing it. Mm-hmm. I don't mind if he's like, hey, you know what, guys? Maybe I'm going to hold off on this issue of The Flash for right now so that I can get this goddamn one shot that's supposed to be this big event story tie-in finished.
Yeah. Well, and we're talking like pushback a week. Like, that's earth-shattering.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For to not come out for months, I mean, what the hell are we doing over there?
Who knows? I just don't even know anymore.
Yeah. So at this point, the DC Universe app will come out in 2020, maybe?
Oh, you know what? That's a good point. Will the DC Universe app debut before this comic? Or will this comic be out before the DC Universe app?
Yeah.
I am going to say the app is out first.
Well, we don't have a definite date of the app. It's just coming later this year.
It said August.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it did say late August, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the app's coming for sure.
Yeah. And they did sort of announce all the stuff that was going to be on there. Did we talk about this on the show already? I don't remember when the news came out.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, okay.
You don't even remember what we talk about anymore.
No, I mean, I remember we talked about the app, but I don't remember since the news of like what was going to be on there if we talked about it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did.
Oh, okay.
Because that was our in and out, like, price point. We don't know a price point yet, right?
No, I haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
I saw, you know, like the animated stuff, the movie stuff, the TV show stuff, and the comic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been no pricing yet.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, at the very least, I'm going to do a trial membership for a couple months and see what happens.
You can't. Usually a trial membership is for a month, not for
no, but I mean, I'm, for myself, I'm going to do a trial and see if paying for it for a couple months, if I feel like I get my money's worth.
Oh, I get you. And then Gary's going to do a trial.
Yeah.
And then your wife's going to do a trial.
Yep. And my kids and.
Yeah.
And,
okay. I see. And pickles. Yeah. Don't forget about pickles.
Yeah. So I got at least 6 months of trial. But I also, I don't know if you saw this, I signed up for the beta.
Yeah.
For the app.
Yeah, I did that too.
So I don't know. I'm assuming not everything is going to be on there.
Yeah.
I mean, at the very least, I can pretty much guarantee none of the new shows will be on there.
Right.
But at least this way I can get a feel for, you know, how the comic stuff works.
Yeah.
And everything else.
Right.
And I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be like Apple and Android compatible.
Yeah, but, it said it was, I think.
And I'm hoping, did they say anything? I didn't see if it's going to be available on things like the PS4 and whatnot.
Right now, I think it just said Android and iOS.
Okay.
Available at the start. But I'm sure like the PS4 and Xbox Network or whatever.
Yeah.
Play Store or whatever will get it.
Yeah, because that'll be, I mean, I don't mind watching stuff on my tablet,
uh-huh.
But if you're going to, for, I don't know, the movies, like the animated stuff, whatever.
Yeah, right.
But for, you know, at least the live action, like the Titans or the Swamp Thing or whatever, like I'd like to watch that on my nice TV.
Right.
And if I have to go through my laptop with an HDMI cable into the TV, I will. Yeah. But I mean, just give me the app on my Apple TV or the PlayStation or something. Oh, wouldn't it be on the Apple TV, I guess?
Well, yeah, if they run iOS.
Yeah. Oh, so perfect. Yeah. Okay. Well, there we go. Problem solved.
Yeah. So you can watch Jason Todd kills the DC Universe.
Yeah. Yep.
As soon as it hits.
Absolutely. I cannot wait for that show.
Speaking of one of the Bat family members getting murdered.
Yeah.
This week's detective.
Correct.
When Duke got blown up.
Yes. This story had me at the explosion.
Yeah. Yes, it did. I was waiting for the 1-900 to pop up so I can call and vote whether I'm going to kill Duke off kill or not. Duke.
I was hoping as Alfred is picking shards of glass out of his arms and whatever, mm-hmm. that by mistake he would nick an artery. And oops, it's too late.
Yeah, but
seriously, if you're going to give me a Duke-centric story and you take him out of the story right at the start and you put him in a hospital bed and hopefully he stays there for the rest of this, I guess Brian Hill is doing...
Five issues.
Five issues, yeah. Keep him there for five issues.
Mm-hmm.
maybe the fifth issue he shows up at the way end just to do a, oh, you guys already solved everything?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm better now. Okay, see you later.
Yeah, which...
I'm good.
He's probably going to be a member of the Outsiders, though.
Assuming that it is the Outsiders?
Well, what else are you going to have? There's so many hints in this book that it's the Outsiders.
Do you mean by how the cover says outnumbered and outgunned?
Yes, and when Batman's talking to the Martian Manhunter, he said, I need a team to work outside of the Justice League.
I don't know what that could possibly mean.
So, yeah. And I think one of the references was where Geoforce and Terra were from. Like one of the cities that was mentioned here, and they were on a version of that Batman and the Outsider. So,
to be honest, that I don't remember.
Yeah, well, so we got a new villain, at least.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of
Karma?
Is that was the name they gave him?
Yeah, yeah. And he looks like Red X, like from the Titans show.
Yeah,
because he was revealed at the end when he was trying to attack. Orphan.
Right. Yeah, with his little Cylon face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or Red X.
No, I'm telling you, it's going to turn out to be a Cylon. It's this weird Battlestar Galactica crossover Detective Comics.
Well, I mean, Green Lantern did crossover with Star Trek, so anything's possible. But it's Brian Hill, so...
Yeah, what do you think of the motivation for the villain? If in a way they even are the villain, because if their whole purpose is to make Batman more efficient, I don't know how they could possibly like really be a bad guy.
Right. Because they want him to be by himself.
Yeah.
Or he wants to be by himself. Whatever. Man. Yeah. As long as it's not futuristic Jason Todd coming back to knock them off one by one.
I don't know. What if it's futuristic Jason Todd coming back to die multiple times in my movie?
Are you saying that you know things that I don't know?
I mean, I am working on a Jason Todd movie, so I might have inside information on a Jason Todd appearance.
Yeah, Jason Todd kills the DC universe.
I mean, look. What kind of mask does he wear?
A red hood.
There you go. He's got a little red mark on his face. It's, you know, just like... That's the next evolution of Red Hood.
Yep. Okay. Well, okay. I'm rooting for this villain right now. for a couple of reasons.
I know one of the reasons is because they almost killed Duke.
Yes. Okay, so Karma 1, everybody else 0.
I don't know why I find that so funny, but I mean, that's great.
Okay, and then number two, if it means Batman getting the Outsiders back together,
right?
Karma 2, everybody else 0.
Yeah.
But then, if it ends up being Tim Drake from the future or Jason Todd from the future, everybody else 6, Karma 2.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one a lot. I mean, I've enjoyed all of Detective pretty much. Mm-hmm. And it's always kind of, we've talked about with other books, how it's kind of upsetting when a writer or a creative team that you really like is doing good things on a book. And then they're like, yeah, they're not going to do this one anymore.
Yeah.
But I enjoy Brian Hill.
Yeah.
And I guess the last issue, 982, it was kind of, who did that one? That was just like a random one-off, right?
Yeah.
Am I remembering that right? Yeah. So, I mean, I like Brian Hill. Anything that I've read of his has been great.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad he's doing it. You know, even if it's only 5 issues, I'm glad he's on for 5 issues.
Yeah, but hopefully it spins to Batman and the Outsiders.
Yeah, you keep saying Batman and the Outsiders, but I see no evidence whatsoever.
Well, keep looking in that book.
I mean, where? There's nothing.
Well, there's 2 references on the cover.
No, I don't see it.
The only word that they didn't use there was Cassandra when she was walking across the street to the outhouse. That was the only word.
It's not like this story is called On the Outside.
Yeah, see? So not much inside, but outside.
I still don't get it.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm totally in on this.
What did you think of everything with Black Lightning?
I liked it, actually. I liked the contrast. You know, he's got his own morals because being a teacher and whatnot. And I even liked the conversation with him and Batman when they're in there, and he's got the blueprints of his suit.
Yep.
And Batman was like, I can modify that.
Yeah, increase the efficiency and decrease the energy. He's like, I'm an English teacher.
Yeah. So, yeah, I really like that.
Yeah.
And it's actually, like, true to his character. And it's kind of cool that he was like, I don't want to be the first person to tell Batman no, but...
Yeah, I don't think I read the Dark Forge one shot. I can't remember it. So okay. I think this made reference to things that happened in there with Black Lightning.
Yeah.
So I don't remember. I'm like, if I read it, I don't remember Black Lightning doing anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I missed part of the story there.
Right. Which,
but every
something happens and he feels guilty about it in this issue.
Oh, okay. So whatever. So it's him being himself.
Kind of.
But I really, like you said, the interaction between the two of them, how when Batman first shows up and they're talking and he's like, yeah, I get it. You would have figured out a way to keep the bad guy alive, even though, I mean, because he failed at it. But I also thought when he's interviewing a new teacher or whoever, whatever it is, I like how it was cut between him as Black Lightning, you know, fighting the weird hockey mask guy, trying to save the girl, and talking to the guy in the interview saying stuff like, you know, this is the part of the city that people forget. It's a rough area.
Yeah.
The kids, you know, you're going to have some problem children or whatever. You're going to lose some kids. And if you know, once you can get okay with that, you'll never be okay with it, but then you'll be able to succeed.
Right.
And it's, you know, while that's going on, it's basically him as Black Lightning doing that thing as, you know, what he's saying, but as his hero persona.
Right.
And I thought it worked really well.
Yeah, it really, really did work. Even the anti-sportsmaster villain, I thought worked really good.
Mm.
I mean, because it's either that or anti-anarchy.
Yeah.
Because what other lame villain has just a mask on? Oh, it could be Casey Jones.
Oh my goodness, that would be amazing.
Because Batman and the Ninja Turtles recently had two crossovers.
Yeah. The only part of this book that confused the heck out of me is when Batman is chasing the car with like the guys in the ski masks.
Yeah.
There's the one page where he's like throwing whatever at the car.
The tire and then, repellent things?
Yeah, the little spike things.
Yeah.
But then the next panel has the car crashing into a streetlight.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that it was drawn, it literally took me 5 minutes of looking at this page to realize that it was on the curb, like up on the sidewalk. Because I'm like, wait a minute, he's throwing these little spike things to try and pop out the tires, and some of them are going through the windshield and whatever. Where the hell did this giant post come from? And I'm looking, I'm like, there's no way. Like, what is going on here? Because even in the panel after it, where Batman is kind of standing behind the car with the guy, I think he was hanging out the windshield.
Yeah.
It looks like it's in the middle of the road. I'm like, what am I missing here? And then finally I realized in the one where it hits, you can see that there's a few other light posts behind it, like on a sidewalk kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, man.
I don't know how they have it there in Hoboken, but there
are... You don't just have random light posts in the middle of your street?
There are curbs and light poles next to the road.
Are you looking at the book? You're not looking at the book.
No,
right?
I'm not looking at the book.
It looks like there is... I'll send you a screen grab of this one frame.
Okay.
But it looks like there's a sidewalk behind him, but where they are, there's no curb anymore.
Oh.
So that's what threw me off. I'm like, it just looks like there's a random freaking curb in the middle of the street.
All right. So now we're past your curb Is no. it there? Is it not there?
We will never be past the curve.
Okay, so for the outside team, not the outsiders, just a team to work outside of the Justice League, we have Black Lightning, who obviously Batman wants as the leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
And assumingly we're going to get Orphan because she gets attacked at the last page.
Right.
So then we have Black Lightning and Orphan. What else? Who else is going to be on the team, do you think?
Jeez, I don't even know. I mean, it looked like he was bringing in Black Lightning mm-hmm. to be... I mean, he said he needs kind of a teacher, which would lead me to believe that it's going to be all the younger members of the Bat family.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess that's, you know, where Duke is going to make a miraculous yet undeserving recovery. And he will probably be there. And, I mean, Cassandra... To be honest with you, I would love to see Harper get involved more.
Her be like the Oracle?
No, her being like Bluebird.
Her being like Oracle?
No. Maybe Duke will become Oracle because now he can no longer ever get out of a hospital bed because of his injuries.
Yes, that would be... Man, we're going to hell, aren't we?
Probably.
But that would be great.
Hey, you know what, though?
Because he can do stuff during the day, so he could still be the Signal.
Yeah.
So when he goes to Walmart to get his giant-sized covers, he can, like, hop in the little buggy and cruise around.
That is why they call him the Signal, because all he can do now is signal to the team that they need to go and do stuff.
I like this, yes.
Outside of the hospital.
Yes.
Which is why they're the Outsiders.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
We got this.
Yep. I'm glad we put all that together. All right. New book.
You know, hold on. Before we get to a new book.
No.
In reality, I would love for Duke to not suck as bad as he does.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, we talked about it before with the We Are Robin stuff. He was an interesting character. Mm-hmm. And then just everything afterwards. And I don't know if it's that Snyder, like the voice that Snyder has for him is not, it doesn't work for me because he seems to be the one that writes him the most.
Right.
With All-Star Batman and the other thing he wrote, whatever it was.
Metal.
No, didn't he do something else with
The Signal?
Yeah. Didn't he write?
He didn't write The Signal. No,
I don't remember.
I don't either.
To be honest, I noped out in issue one and made you keep reading.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. He just doesn't work. And maybe Brian Hill can do something to make it better because, I mean, the two pages before he blowed up where he kind of flipped into the place.
Yeah.
And saw the guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, this isn't so terrible.
Yeah.
And, you know, the page where he is blowed up is definitely... Highlight of the issue.
Okay, so if you take an uninteresting character.
Yes.
And I'm looking at you, Duke. And you give him to Brian Edward Hill.
Yes.
He can make him into something great.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, like he has a knack for giving a decent voice to people.
Right. Yeah. Layers.
Yeah.
Like onions. Like Shrek.
Yeah. I don't know what that means.
Okay. New book.
Oh, speaking of Batman.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I have that note from last week.
That Gary left you?
From my dog, Gary.
Yeah.
About reading Dark Prince Charming.
Yes.
So I read Dark Prince Charming.
Uh-huh.
And it was pretty, pretty, pretty good.
Wow. Three pretties. Yes. It is visually and story-wise pretty stunning.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And I'm not familiar with, I think, Marini.
Yeah.
Or whoever was the guy who wrote and the guy who basically did it.
Uh-huh.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything else.
I think this is his like first thing.
I'm assuming that he is some... Maybe he's done stuff in Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess this is his first, like, big American work, maybe?
Yeah.
Because I was going to look him up, but I didn't, just to see what else he had been involved in. And I never got that far. So, hey, Gary.
He read it.
Write me a note to remind me to look up this Marini guy and just see. All right, thanks.
Right, rookie, Reggie.
Yeah, he'll take care of that.
Yeah.
He'll make sure that this week I look him up.
So what do you think about the art and the story, though?
Overall? Oh, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. I really liked it. And you can kind of tell that he's from not the United States, because things that we tiptoe around here, mm-hmm. he just, like, dove straight in.
Such as?
Like, Joker just, like, calling Harley out, like, telling her that she's stupid, and, you know, his mental abuse part.
Okay.
That's always been like subtle
mm.
in years past or whatever, right?
Right.
But now he's just like, oh, you're dumb. And then like she gets naked and has sushi all over her.
Yeah, that confused me. That was the only part of this that seemed semi out of character. But at the same time, it didn't seem out of character, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously she's insane.
Yeah.
And doing bizarre stuff is exactly what she would do. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why. The sushi thing, I was like, that's weird.
Yeah. And
maybe because the Joker doesn't strike me as a person to eat food.
Well, I don't know. Harley seemed like her ditzy blonde-ish self. In this.
Yeah.
So, not really annoying. It's the voice that I'm used to reading her as.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody's voice in this was pretty
spot on.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Alfred getting pissed off that Bruce was going to heat up the lobster.
Lobster in the microwave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't torture me with such things, Master Bruce.
I will give you credit for something.
Uh-oh. What?
That is probably the worst Alfred voice I have ever heard in my life.
well. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, like you said, everybody, Selena was doing Selena things.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Batman, as both Bruce Wayne and Batman,
mm-hmm.
seemed very much like you would feel like they would be.
Yeah.
The Joker was spot on crazy evil Joker.
Yeah.
And I thought one of my favorite parts throughout it is how he pretty much just keeps killing his own henchmen.
Yeah.
That it's, you know, he's like, oh, we need more people.
Except for the one henchman that wants to die.
Yeah. For some reason he leaves him alone.
Yeah. So
I guess because he does the job well.
Yeah, maybe. So at the end of the book, I don't want to like spoil it for anybody who doesn't read it yet, but like, who's the dad?
How is that not spoiling it for anyone who hasn't read it yet?
I don't know.
That's literally the whole point.
That's the opposite story. Of that.
Okay. Let me fix this for you. I want to ruin the ending of this book for every person who possibly hasn't read it.
There, fixed it for me.
The answer is a weird combination of both the Joker and Batman, because it was within the same period of time and the sperm from both of them fertilized the one egg.
Because she works in a bar? You saying she's a bar whore?
I very well could be. She works in a seedy bar.
Yeah. Lucky Sevens.
Yeah. No, to be honest, the way that the book ended, it seemed very probable that the girl who Bruce Wayne has now adopted,
mm-hmm.
but only in this continuity and not anywhere else, is the Joker's daughter.
Okay. Who turns into the Neo Joker?
No, she's going to turn into Commissioner Gordon.
Okay.
I did like the interaction with the girl and the Joker, mm-hmm. how she's a typical 8-year-old where she might be frightened but is showing no fear. And is still going to kind of wise off to whoever. Like, she does not back down.
Nope.
And every little thing that she does is, you know, there's the clown. And, of course, she breaks the head off the clown, which was the camera. He's like, why would he do that? And she's like, I hate clowns. And he's like, nobody hates clowns. You know, I hate clowns.
Yeah. She's pretty spunky and sassy.
Yeah.
Like you would assume an 8-year-old to be.
Yeah.
Or however old she is.
I mean, it looks like it was 9 years ago that people wandered into the bar.
two guys wander into a bar. Yeah. 9 years later, 8-year-old. You figure it out.
This now is what I'm wondering. If the whole thing with Bruce Wayne at the bar, did that actually happen?
Or what?
Well, I'm just thinking, if, you know, you live in, I mean, not squalor, but if you live in like this crappy place and you have a kid and she starts asking questions and on TV one day is Bruce Wayne, this billionaire, mm-hmm. and the mom goes, oh, yeah, that's your father. And then makes up some story about how this billionaire guy would just be in this crappy dive bar in the middle of like Shitsville.
Yeah.
That, you know, and I mean, she's told it so long and then she shows up at the house with, you know, with everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, although the interaction, he did seem to recognize her.
Yeah.
So maybe it did happen. But I mean, at the end, maybe what actually happened was the Joker showed up at the bar. Mm-hmm. And it was never Bruce in the first place.
Yeah, I can see that. That's cool. That's diving extra layers to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Sometimes I make sense. Rarely, very rarely. But yeah, no, I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder if it's one of those situations where it's like you just keep lying to your kid about how, you know, your father was a, you know, an astrophysicist at NASA and.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah.
But it turns out it was just some random hookup at some club one night in the bathroom stall.
Like the Humpty Dance?
Yeah.
Got busy in the Burger King bathroom. All right. What about Titans Special?
What about the Titans Special?
Written by Adam Glass.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
I did enjoy most of it.
Okay.
Is Adam Glass going to be taking over Teen Titans? Like, officially, this wasn't just a one-off thing for him. Like, he's going to be the new writer on the series, right?
I think so.
Okay. See, that I'm looking forward to. I enjoy his writing a lot, too.
Yeah.
And he does a very good job with team books of giving enough focus to each member.
To actually care about each member?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, just using Rough Riders as an example, he obviously focuses the most on, you know, your main character. Mm-hmm. But everyone else in the series had enough time in the spotlight where you got to, I guess it's been, what, 3 miniseries? So you've had enough time to kind of grow with them and see their character expand.
Right.
So I'm hoping, especially because the new team for this confuses me greatly, that I'm hoping that he's able to do that and make me care about some of these characters that do not seem interesting in the slightest. Mm-hmm. I guess before we get into the new team, we should talk about the book. I guess the book starts off with Damien going to this Turkish restaurant that he likes because they make soup like how his mother made it. So he always enjoys going there. And when he's there, a bunch of street thugs come in and look like they're trying to get protection money, but it turns out it's not just protection money. They're going to blow up the place to send a message to make sure that everybody else pays the protection money.
Right.
So it turns out that, Black Mask is behind it. So Robin pays him a visit in the sauna and basically it sure looked to me like he killed all of his men.
Yes.
And then it appears that he kills Black Mask at the end, right?
It alludes to that, yeah.
I mean, he's pointing a gun at his head, and then it's you see from outside and you hear a gunshot.
Yep. Well, you read a gunshot.
Well, actually. Yeah. Yes. So I guess Damien is... He did say at one point that, you know, his way wasn't working.
Right.
Which I guess is the Batman way.
Yeah.
And that he had to do things differently. So it looks like Damien is back to killing people, at least in this, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which I guess is kind of okay with me.
Yeah. Because honestly, this is like the first time I've really enjoyed Damien. Because I can see like where he's coming from, and then each time, like as a kid, it's like getting told no and no and no and no, right? Until you just like, screw it, I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, he was like, no, for the last time, I'm doing it my way.
Yeah, and the thing about that too, I'm wondering, I mean, obviously, I don't think in Super Sons, Damien is still going to be killing people.
No.
Because that sort of skews towards a younger audience.
Yeah. I think that's why they're ending it, and it's getting, like, in the Zoom imprint.
Yeah, probably. One of those.
Yeah.
But if Damien is back to doing whatever has to be done instead of doing things the right way, I guess.
Yeah.
I am very much looking forward to the confrontation between him and Bruce.
Yes.
That you know it eventually is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, and also not only that, but like maybe the rest of this new Teen Titans team.
Yeah.
That it seems like they're setting it up for a lot of chaos, like in the story with Red Arrow.
Yes.
She's there, you know, it basically her mother suckers her in to thinking that she cares, but actually is poisoning her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she's like, well, she doesn't care about me. So now it's over. And the whole thing with Wally is, I guess, leading into part of the Flash War.
Yeah.
Where he's just getting angrier at always being told what to do by other Wally and Barry and not getting it. And in this, it was actually interesting because the other Wally was, you know, basically saying, listen, like we're adults. Like I get where you're coming from because I remember when I was Kid Flash and, you know, Barry would tell me to do stuff and I thought it was stupid that he told me to do stuff. But now that I'm a little older, I realize, you know, he knows what he's talking about. Like, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about here.
Right.
And younger Wally's like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's basically it's the new formation of the Teen Titan.
Right.
In modern times.
Yeah. And they're all coming to it from a very angry place.
Yeah. Well, I mean, teens are angry these days.
Well, I mean, teens were always angry, but you know, the old Teen Titans kind of went by the Batman rule of no killing.
Well, yeah.
And this group seems more like, hey, whatever we're going to have to do,
we're going to do,
you know, like I think at the end when Damien's talking about, I need to form the new team.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I don't want Grayson's hand-me-downs,
uh-huh,
which is, you know, kind of what he'd been with before.
Right.
And I mean, like Red Arrow is awesome. I'm still not sold on this Kid Flash. That every time I like him, he does something that just really annoys me. But the other three people, you have Lobo's daughter. I forget what her name is.
Yeah.
I think Crush, maybe. It was something like that. I don't remember. But I could just be thinking of Demolition because of the face paint. you know, she's there. And I really hope that I like her more than I like Lobo.
Yeah.
You have the magic girl who's like a genie. I don't remember her name.
Christina Aguilera.
Yes. Yes. So you have Christina Aguilera. Yeah,
cause she's the genie in the bottle. Yep.
And I think the guy with the blonde hair, I think his name was Roundhouse.
Yeah. That is correct.
Is that what?
Yeah.
So I don't get what his power is. Is he just like, he sort of Miley Cyrus's through things? Because he's a wrecking ball.
Yeah, I think he came in like a wrecking ball. Yes, you're correct.
So pretty much this group of Titans are a bunch of, I don't know how old they are now, but they're basically a bunch of 90s pop stars.
Yeah, probably.
Or 2000s pop stars.
Yeah, I would say so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't go for that.
But you will.
No, I can't go for that.
Oh, my. No, I'm in on it.
Yeah, oh yeah, I am too.
And even if like Roundhouse and Christina Aguilera doesn't have an actual like superhero protege or mentor, right, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, like I don't even know. I mean, Lobo's daughter obviously would be Lobo, but the other two, I have no idea. unless it would be like Dr. Fate for the Genie Girl, maybe.
Maybe.
But that's where in Roundhouse, I got nothing. But yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. Mm-hmm. I think at the very least, Robin and Red Arrow, like Damian and Emiko, mm-hmm. are they're enough to keep my interest in this book.
Yeah.
And the way, you know, I said before how Adam Glass does a really good job bringing everything together.
Yeah.
I have full confidence that if I don't like them all, at least I'll enjoy reading the book. So,
yeah, I agree. I'm in, like, with this special. I enjoyed how it kicked off.
Yeah.
And the art was actually, I enjoyed the art too.
Yeah. Who did the art on this? I don't remember.
I knew you were going to ask me, but I don't remember either.
Cause I think the, I want to say Bernard Chang is doing the art on the actual book, but he didn't do it on this.
Right. That is correct on that.
I'm trying to see. Robson Rocha.
Okay.
I named.
Doesn't ring. Doesn't really.
Yeah. No.
I'm enjoying it though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. The only part of the book that I felt was a little weird was when, I guess at the start of Emiko's story, where she's talking about, oh, I like watching the Kardashians or something.
Yeah. Something about the Kardashians anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, like that didn't really seem like her.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. I'll let it go.
Yeah. Next week, do you want to talk about Man of Steel 5 and then the finale?
I mean, we could do that, or we could talk about how awesome Man of Steel 5 was now. Oh, my goodness.
I got to go pick up Sydney.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I just told you that.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
But yes, Cliff Notes version, and then we can go into both episodes next week. How about that?
Because Cliff Notes version, the book is awesome, and the Justice League making an appearance is fantastically awesome.
Yes.
And, yeah.
And Adam Hughes' art in this is fantastic.
Absolutely.
It's different, but it's awesome different, though.
Yes.
I don't know how to describe it, really.
Just describe it as wonderful.
Wonderful.
So, Gary is writing down a note again for me. We're going to talk about Man of Steel, and we're going to talk about the sixth issue of Silencer.
Oh, yes. Yes. And maybe so, listener questions.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, maybe. Maybe if we can stop gushing about Silencer long enough to get to them.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you all for listening to this week's episode of the Absolute DC Podcast. If you would like to get in touch with me directly on Twitter, you can at Aaron S. Bell.
I'm at Rombar316.
And the show is at DC_Absolute. Thank you for listening.
We are out.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
DC Absolute.
Hell yeah.
Now that wasn't terrible.
That was pathetic. Ooh.
Nerdy Legion.
Nerdylegion.com. Totally confused. Shut up. I hate you. Forget it. Podcast over. Shut up. You're not my real dad.